We are now looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus in connection with Jesus' ministry, years of ministry. And there are just a few things that are said about that. You'd really have to read through all four Gospels to really take special note of the way in which the Holy Spirit worked through Christ. But let's turn to the next place where the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Gospels, and that's Luke chapter 4. We're reminded of that Jesus received the Spirit without limit. And everywhere he went, he was led by the Holy Spirit. Every word he spoke was spoken by the Spirit. And every miracle that he performed was a manifestation of the Spirit in him and through him. Praise God. Now, in Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized, now it almost gives the indication because you're reading about the baptism of Jesus and then the temptation, it appears as though he immediately went to Nazareth. But as you read it, you get the sense that he ministered elsewhere before this particular account is given. It says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost," I'm sorry, where is that? Luke 4:16. "And he came to Nazareth." Let's go back two verses. "After his temptation, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there he went about his fame through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." We talked about how when Jesus yielded himself to the Holy Spirit as he confronted the devil's temptations, that the power of the Holy Spirit was manifest through him to enable him to overcome those temptations and to defeat the enemy. And now, having returned from being tried as he was, there is a fuller expression of the power of God in his life. As we yield ourselves to the Spirit, it brings about a fuller expression of the Spirit's working in our life. And so now he returned in the power of the Spirit, and that power was manifest in his preaching and his teaching and so on. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them," he started his talk by saying, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. For whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up and up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, came down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Right. Interesting story. Jesus goes back to his hometown, and he opens up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and he reads that prophecy that had to do with the Messiah, the Savior, that God was to send. And he claims to be the fulfillment of that prophecy. He says, "This day is this word fulfilled in your ears. I am the one Isaiah was speaking of. I'm the one upon whom God has placed his spirit to enable me to preach the gospel to the poor," and so on. Now, when you look carefully at what Jesus is saying there, he's already giving a sort of a little summary of his ministry, the work that he had now taken up. And he himself places emphasis on the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Why did God place his Spirit upon me? So that I can go under this anointing, under the power of this anointing, to preach the gospel to the poor. The preaching that Jesus gave, the teaching that Jesus gave, was under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He did that by the Holy Ghost in him. He ministered healing to those whose hearts were broken, whose hearts were crushed. He ministered hope to them. We read so many people that were classified as sinners in the Bible. Everyone is a sinner, but these ones were just classified as such in society. They were the worst of the worst. You had some of these women who were prostitutes and so on, or the tax collectors who betrayed their own people and aligned themselves with the Romans and took advantage of their own. They were the worst of sinners, and so many of these people were rejected, and they were broken, and they were rejected by the religious leaders. They gave them no hope. They gave them no indication that God loved them or had there was any hope for them. And then Jesus comes, and these are the very people that he reaches out to. He reaches out to the outcast. He reaches out to the brokenhearted, to those that are considered hopeless and too far gone. And by the gracious, loving words that proceed out of his mouth, he helps them to understand that they're precious to God, and that God loves them, and he wants to receive them and to give them new life and so on. And so he heals the brokenhearted. He preaches deliverance to the captives. Well, there are people that were bound in every sort of way. Wherever Jesus went, he came upon captives. Weren't people behind prison doors, literally, but there were people that were bound by the devil, bound by their sin. Inwardly, they were bound. And they couldn't break out. And Jesus, by a word, by laying his hand on them, he cast out the devils. He set the captives free. You right away think of that story of that man in the tombs, those men. They were living in the tombs. One gospel speaks of two men, and then one gospel particularly concentrates on this one person. And he was bound. And they tried to control him in their town, and they couldn't. They chained him up, but he broke the chains. And they didn't know what to do with him, so they drove him out of town. And he lived in the cemetery there among the tombs. And he was tortured. Under the oppression of the enemy, he would cut himself and cry at night, and he was just so terribly bound. And the Bible tells us that Jesus came to him. And he came out to meet Jesus, perhaps for battle. One of my teachers in school studied Greek, and he said he was reading through the Greek New Testament and then just making his own paraphrase for his own study. And he said when he got to that story, it says that when the men came out to meet Jesus when he stepped on the shore, that the word that's used there is the same word used for one army coming out to meet another opposing army, as though they're getting ready to engage in battle. And so I suppose that anybody that stepped on the shore, the devil in that man wanted to come and attack, and Jesus was no exception. But when he saw who it was, then the devil, of course, recognized that this was Christ. And Jesus cast those devils into that herd of swine, and this man now is clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he's set free. What no one else could do for him, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit flowing through him, was able to bring about. And somebody wrote about that story, and they get rather dramatic, how he finally goes back home. Jesus says, go back home. He wanted to follow Jesus, go travel with him. He said, no, I want you to go back home and tell everybody what great things God has done for you. And so he starts going back home. And the story goes that his wife was out in the field working, and suddenly she recognized her husband coming back, and she quick ran and got the kids and said, hide, your dad's coming. And then she tried to find something that with which she could defend herself and keep him away from the house. But as he got a little closer, she looked into his eyes, and she saw it wasn't the same man that used to abuse them, but that there was a clarity there. There was a freedom there. There was a tenderness. And he came and he embraced her. And he asked for her forgiveness. And he told her what Jesus had done for him. And the kids crawled out from their hiding places and ran to Daddy. And that whole family was different now, because Jesus set the captive free. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it's pretty good, I think. It makes me cry every time I tell it. To set at liberty those that are bound, and recovering the sight to the blind. You know, there are many blind people, naturally speaking, many deaf people. We read about their healings. But you know, there was a greater blindness that only the Spirit of God could remove. The Apostle Paul tells us that Satan has blinded the hearts and the minds to keep us from believing. It's amazing how blind people are spiritually. Sometimes you hear people and the way they think, and it's almost frightening. They're so blinded. They're so mixed up. They say evil is good and good is evil. But the Bible tells us that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Jesus shined light into the darkness and removed that spiritual blindness that possessed so many, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That really sums up the ministry of Jesus. And he says, I was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And you know, Jesus continues that ministry in the book of Acts. I took a blue pencil and I underlined every place in the book of Acts where the Lord is recognized as the one who did the miracle or did the work. And it's amazing, as you go through the book of Acts, that the apostles and all the disciples that God used, not one of them ever thought for a moment that they were doing this. But they recognized it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And you see the way it's written, and when you take note of those verses, you see that it's just Jesus continuing his work after his resurrection. It's Jesus doing it from start to finish. And they're always recognizing it was Jesus that healed this man. It was faith in his name, and so on. And so Jesus wants to continue his work in us as well and through us. But it has to be the same way that he ministered. It has to be under the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so we need that Spirit upon us as well. And in Acts chapter 10:38, I just have it here. Peter preaching to Cornelius, he mentions the ministry of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's how Peter summed up the ministry of Jesus. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And in Matthew chapter 4, it tells us, Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And that's Matthew's summary of the ministry of Jesus. Preaching, teaching, preaching, and healing. And Jesus is still doing that today in a very real way by his Spirit through his people. Jesus is going about. You know, the world is still full of brokenhearted people. The world's still full of people that are bound, maybe more so than ever. And God wants to place his anointing on your life so that you can be his instrument through which he can flow. Just want to say this, and then I'm done. You'll notice in the book of Acts that the disciples were used to do the works of Christ, and Jesus was living through them and doing the work in them. And you see all the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in the lives of the disciples. And it's interesting, I read recently, just a simple thought, these gifts were not confined to their church gatherings. When you read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, rarely do you read about them coming together as a church and these gifts being in operation, although we certainly know they were. From the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaks about their gatherings and the gifts that were being used. But he says most of these gifts of the Holy Spirit were manifest in their everyday living. When they walked down the street, when they went into a town, when they went into a home, you see that they were constantly under the anointing, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit just flowed through their life into that family, into that individual on the street, that to that person that was by the side of the riverside there, and so on. And I suppose what the author wanted us to understand is that God wants us to be under the anointing all the time. He wants the gifts to flow through our lives anytime, when needed. And we must keep ourselves in the place where that anointing flows. Jesus did. He was constantly under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he calls us now to live that way too. Praise God. And so this little study that we've been having on the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus is not just to make us to think about what God did for Jesus, but to help us to understand what Jesus wants to do in us. It's the same Jesus. It's the same anointing. And he still wants to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with us. Praise God. Amen.